Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Welcome to this week's edition of Cascade Connects. I'm your host, Rob Cashel, Conference Commissioner, and I am joined today by Eastern Oregon University Women's Basketball Head Coach Angie Weisenflew and Senior on the Women's Team Haley Robinette. Ladies, thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Rob, for having us.
Angie, you are entering into our conference season as pick number one in our league. It was a very close vote amongst the coaches between you and LC. Not unfamiliar territory for you being ranked number one going into our conference. Talk a little bit about that ranking and how you see the season shaping out in front of you.
You know, I think the conference preseason ranking is a lot to do with what you have done maybe in years past, and maybe just given a little bit of respect over what Eastern has been able to do in the conference and nationally. Like you alluded to, LC State, really good team. Southern Oregon, I mean, we got a lot of parity in our conference and a lot of teams that honestly could have been voted as preseason number one and will fight for the conference championship. So, you know, we take it as kind of a respect thing of what people have seen us do over the years, not just what we're getting ready and hopefully are able to accomplish this year. So we don't talk about it a whole lot within our program. You know, we're more of, you know, each year it stands alone. We do have a lot of returners. We have a small roster, but out of that small roster, a lot of them are returners, which we feel good about. But every year is a new year and new challenges and new opportunities.
Haley, talk about some of the challenges this year in preparation or that process that you guys are going through getting ready for Cascade play. You've been through the gauntlet for several years now in the program. Talk about this year and how you guys are preparing.
Yeah, so like Coach said, we have a pretty small roster, which brings challenges and then also, I guess, opportunities too. But I think we're just working to... Right now we have 10, so in practice that's 5-on-5 with no subs, which brings a challenge in itself, but we're just working to get everyone kind of to the same level in practice, and then hopefully that translates over to games where we can kind of make subs and just have no drop-off.
And Angie, your roster typically is not that small. I know in years past you've carried anywhere 13 to 18 players and had some injuries, had some people leave the program for personal reasons and just finishing school, et cetera. So talk a little bit about how, you know, I don't want to say load management per se, but how are you going to manage that smaller roster and minutes played?
Yeah, well, actually, Rob, it is a lot about load management. And I mean, the first thing is going into the season, because we faced some adversity and some challenges, you know, about a week before we started, and then a couple weeks into the season, we faced some other adversity. Is the first thing is we're talking about it. We're tackling it head on, and we're not looking at it an approach that we are a victim of these circumstances. There's teams every year in our conference and across the nation that faces the same thing that we are facing this year. So first, we're looking at, hey, what are the opportunities? And let's maximize those opportunities. And, you know, a few of those are, you know, smaller team. There's minutes out there to be earned. And we can't say that every year. Yes, everyone works really hard. But when you have 18 and you're a basketball team, you can't play 18 players. But you can play 10 players. So there are some minutes out there. So hopefully that is getting people to buy in and come to practice eager and ready to go, because they know that they could be called upon and they want to be ready. Also, I think it's helping our team chemistry, our girls. We've got some outstanding kids on our team, some young ladies. And, you know, I think it's helping in that way. But as in load management, it starts with training. It starts in the weight room. It starts in practice, our practice structure. We have been able to bring a scout team in. And so that's helping. And then just making sure that we are really mindful of what we're doing in practice and how much contact and how much 5-on-5 are we doing, because you got to have them ready. A part of our program is building that toughness, that resilience, and some of those things that you got to play. You got to play. So really just kind of balancing that. Also, we're really looking at systematically going into the year, you know, when you've done this for 24 years and we're traditionally, if it's a man-to-man or if we run or if we rebound or whatever we've been doing that is working, what can we keep? What can we tinker with? And what do we need to start doing? So, you know, we kind of did a deep dive on our evaluation in that, you know, what do we need to stop doing? What do we need to start doing? And what do we need to continue? And so systematically, we're looking at some other things too. And one of the things I do want to mention is we've got excellent athletic trainers, and they're playing a role in our preparation and hopefully our success this year. Our athletic trainer, she's doing a lot of prehab with us, not just rehab, but we're getting out in front of some of these things that basketball players see during the season.
Yeah, you mentioned trainers, and sometimes they're the MVPs of a team sometimes, right?
Absolutely. And,
so you know, you bring up a good point about there's minutes to be had, and Haley, I want to ask you a question. You know, you've been one of those players that have earned those minutes in the years past and all that, but as I'm listening to Coach, I'm thinking, you know, hey, if I'm 15, 16 on the roster and I know I'm not getting that many minutes, now boy, every one of your teammates, they got to be ready. They got to know the plays. They got to know where they're supposed to be. And are you seeing that in your practices and in the game so far? Are you seeing maybe more preparation than maybe you've seen in the past because kids knew, hey, I'm probably not going to get very many minutes?
Yeah, and I think that even looking at the same girls who are coming back from last year that maybe didn't get as many minutes, they have the chance to get minutes this year. And they've been kind of getting themselves ready to fit that role where it wasn't something that they had to do last year. So they're working hard in practice. They're working hard to know the scouting report, know the plays, know all those things. So when it does, their name does get called to sub in, they're ready.
Angie, obviously a small roster. You started out this year really in a great way, 4-0. You had two games with last second buckets to win. You know, so that's got to be a great start for you. But you're headed into arguably the toughest road trip of the year to start conference play at Southern Oregon and at OIT. Talk a little bit about those teams. Southern Oregon and OIT, new coach at Oregon Tech, was the assistant, but so talk about what you expected this week.
Yeah, you know, just the long travel, and the travel alone makes it one of the most challenging road trips. But then you plug in who you're playing, and that just, you know, OIT and Southern, they are really good teams. Southern is just coming off of beating a really good Providence team on the road and competing right down to the last possession with Carroll College, that is currently standing at number five in the country. And so we know Southern's really good team, and they've been battle tested early on. And then OIT is sitting at 5-0. Joy has done a phenomenal job. They were young. Both teams were young last year, and now with their, you know, year of experience and having the bulk of their vet, you know, their team back, they've got things moving, and it will be a tough road trip. It'll be an extremely tough road trip. And, you know, hopefully we're up for the challenge. We go into those games, we want to give ourselves an opportunity to compete, you know, and anything can happen, but they'll be tough games for all four of us, C of I, us, OIT, and Southern. It's just, they're going to be great matchups this weekend.
And you're right. They have great programs, and really they turn out the crowds as well. They usually have great support in both of those gyms. So it should be a great weekend.
Absolutely.
Haley, talk a little bit about, obviously you guys at Quinn Coliseum have a great atmosphere to play in. Your fans come out. We were just there a month ago for volleyball championships, and what a great environment that is created there in Quinn. Obviously playing at home and playing in front of that crowd is probably your favorite, but where in the league, other than at home, do you like to go play where you just feel like, man, this is going to be a great environment?
Well, Coach doesn't like this, but I like to go to C of I just because that's kind of going home for me. I'm from Middleton, so just right outside Caldwell. I like to play at C of I, but this road trip that we have this weekend is also really fun because they always get big crowds. And even if the crowd's not cheering for you, I think it's more fun to play in front of a big crowd than play in front of just a few people in the stands. So I'd say C of I or Southern probably.
Yeah, and Rob, I'm going to actually jump in. One of my favorite places is C of I too. You know, it's a rivalry. It's, you know, it's our travel partner. It's been a rivalry from the time I started coaching. We've always had great games against them. It does not matter where we're sitting in the standings. It's your rival game, and anything can happen. And it's a great atmosphere. They do a great job getting their students involved. And Southern and OIT, they also get great environments. And as a college coach and as a college athlete, I talk to my team, you want to play in those. We work hard. We all work hard. And it's exciting. They're always exciting to go and play in those kind of environments.
Well, and at C of I in particular, because of your alumni base, Angie, for 23 years, you've recruited really hard in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, and going to ask Haley here a little bit of how she chose EOU over kind of in the back door of C of I. But, you know, you also get a lot of fans at that C of I game who are EOU alums, not only maybe of the school, but your former players as well.
We do. You know, our program, we take a tremendous amount of pride in building, you know, our alumni base and keeping them involved. And it really comes down to they've been invested. You know, we look at our program that it's not just a 4-year plan. We want it to be a 50-year plan. And when we go to College of Idaho, those alums, you know, they show up, they show out, and their parents do. And I think that's just a testament of the outstanding student athletes and parents that we've had involved in our program. But they've stayed connected, and it's meant a lot to our program. It's part of our sustainable success that we've been able to have here at Eastern.
And Haley, as you said, from Middleton, in really in the shadows of College of Idaho, grew up going to games there and different things. Tell me, what was the difference maker for you? How did you pick EOU over not only C of I, which I'm sure provided you an opportunity, but you had a great high school career and probably had a lot of different opportunities to go many places?
Yeah, so C of I definitely would have been cool. My brother also plays there, so that's kind of a whole other thing. But it would have been cool to play with him. But I actually, being from Middleton, that's where my IU, the kind of EOU legend, is from. So it was a big deal when she would come back and play at C of I or coach. And so I just remember being in middle school, high school, going to watch those games when she would be coming back to Caldwell. And that's kind of where I first watched Eastern, first heard of Eastern, was all because of her. And then once I decided, oh, that might be a good place to go play, I just heard nothing but good things about them. I saw Maya and the whole team have a lot of success with coach. So yeah.
And for our viewers that might not know, Maya IU, two-time player of the year in the Cascade, national player of the year in the NAIA her senior year. Angie, that may be, you've got a lot to pick from, that may be the best player that you've ever had in your program.
Absolutely. We've had some tremendous players, but Maya you know, she sets the standard, not just with our program, but in the NAIA. She was a phenomenal player, but she was even a better person and a teammate. And that's what allowed her to be as good as she was. She was extremely humble, bought in on all levels, you know, did all the little things, and she still gives to this day. So yeah, but she definitely is one of the best players within the conference, I believe, that the Cascade Conference has ever had, as well as Eastern.
Now, Haley, again, from Middleton, looked at your bio, you're studying elementary education. Is there a grade level that you're hoping to teach? And with that, are you in your student teaching now, or is that a little bit further down the road?
So if I had to pick grade level right now, I think I would pick kindergarten or first grade, which some people think that's crazy, but I student taught already, and I student taught kindergarten for the first half and then fifth grade for the second half. And I really like the kindergartners. They just, you never know what they're going to say. They make you feel like the most amazing person in the world when they see you. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I like the younger grades, but I think we'll just see where that takes me.
That's great. Well, we need great kindergarten teachers, that's for sure. Angie, you also serve as not only our conference rater, but you're on the ARC rating as well, the Area Rating Committee. Talk a little bit about the rating process, and you know, we've had some success nationally when we get back to the tournament. Matter of fact, I think it was Maya's last year, you got to the Elite Eight. Correct me if I'm wrong on how far you went. I think it was the eight, might have been top four. But talk about kind of our league and our region and trying to, you know, get that respect that I think we deserve nationally.
Yeah, I think over, you know, especially the last 10 years, I think our conference has shown that we are one of the toughest conferences in the nation. You know, it has changed a little in the ratings and the ARC process when we merged from being D2 in the NAIA and D1 merged a few years ago. I think we're on our third year. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we're on our third year. And so I think all Division IIs have had to kind of fight for that respect. But, you know, LC State making it to the final site last year and them being eliminated by the national champs, the eventual national champs. We were eliminated by someone that made it to the Final Four and was eliminated again by the national champs. So we have shown, our conference has shown, you know, we've gotten three teams in and we show that we deserve to be there. You know, once you get to, you know, in, if you're on the road, if you're hosting at home, now that we do opening rounds, you know, it's important to host. I think that helps, you know, you're being able to go make a deep run, but you also have to have good matchups. But we are definitely one of the top. And being part of the ARC and being one of the raters, and I've been rating for several years, I watch a lot of film. You know, you want to know what you're competing against, and you want to do a good job for your conference. You know, you want to build trust nationally. And so you got to do your homework as a rater. And so I watch a lot of film. And, you know, I look at teams and what they're doing against other teams and what the eye test is. And it's quite the process. It's quite the process. But I feel very fortunate and blessed that I get to be a part of it, because I also think that helps. I think it helps our conference. I think it helps me as a coach seeing other teams and where we need to be. You know, what does our conference have to do to compete for a national championship? And we're knocking on the door. We're knocking on the door. You know, I think some of our programs are built to make deep runs, and we will continue to improve. But I think we made a lot of strides over the last 10 to 12 years nationally.
Haley, looking at the smaller roster this year and your role, again, you've been a key component the last several years with the Mountaineers, but has your role, do you see your role changing now a little bit with the fact that you have maybe a different rotation that you're going to go through with the load management, different maybe style of play against different teams based on that? Are you seeing your role change a little bit?
Well, first off, as far as like leadership role, I feel like last year, even though I was a junior, there was, thanks to COVID, quite a few girls that were still older than me, seniors and super seniors and all that. So as much as I was trying to be a leader last year and would take that role, there was also a lot of girls that were just older. So this year, being a senior and being one of the oldest on the team, I feel like that's a big role that I'm kind of changing and stepping into, is more of the leadership role. And then also, just with 10 girls, we're doing a little bit of different things on offense, a little bit of different stuff on defense, and those are things that we haven't done in the past years. So there's some things that are changing within that.
Angie, you've been at this 23 years at Eastern, over 500 wins. Looking at your record, you've only had one season under 500, and that was your very first season back in 2001. So you've had incredible success at Eastern Oregon University and longevity. Talk a little bit about your love for that university, clearly. And I know this to be true. You've had lots of different opportunities where people were tapping you on their shoulders saying, "Hey, we want you to come lead our program," maybe at different levels, NCAA, Division I, Division II, et cetera. Talk a little bit about your love of Eastern and what's kept you there.
Yeah, I do love Eastern. I mean, blue and gold runs deep within my heart and my blood. I've always just wanted to coach and hopefully be able to build something that we're all proud of. And we always, as coaches, talk about we want to make an impact on our student athletes' lives. But truly being said, I've just been extremely blessed. My students, student athletes that I've had an opportunity to coach and their families have made a new huge impact on me. And I just have always looked at there's still lots of things that I need to accomplish here at Eastern. We just talked nationally and bringing that red banner home and things like that. So I definitely haven't been complacent. There's a lot of things that we as a program haven't accomplished, and I haven't accomplished as a coach. And I will continue to work really hard to accomplish those things. But I love Eastern. I love what they have allowed me to do. The opportunities they have given me, opportunities to grow professionally. When you were a part of that, Rob, you were the athletic director here when I was just beginning, getting started with the basketball. And to me, it's about the relationships I've been able to build, and with everyone, with the community, with the administration, my alums, and then to build sustainable success, you've got to have kids and their families buying in to your style of coaching. I'm a tough coach. I hope I am a fair coach, and that that I'm able to give a lot to my student athletes. But we have high standards here at Eastern, and so I just feel very blessed that our students buy into it. And it all starts with the recruiting process, being honest, being intentional, and making sure it's a good fit. And then really giving them an opportunity to, it's not my program. I've had an assistant coach with me for 16 years, and I've had players be a part of our program. I've had I think all my assistants, other than my dad that started out being my assistant, and then one other grad assistant, has been alums. And that's something I take pride in too. They know kind of what the program's about. And it's all about that buy-in. So I just feel very blessed that I've gotten an opportunity at Eastern, and I take it very serious as well.
Well, again, you've had great success there and continued success as you move forward. Haley, what's something maybe that people maybe would not expect about Coach? Maybe something that you would say about Coach that maybe people would say, "Oh, really? I didn't realize that was something about Angie."
I think one thing, a lot of the way that like we describe her to recruits or just like when we're talking, it's like she might be serious at the time she needs some stuff, but in reality she's just like a kid. Like she's just like the biggest kid ever. And she, I mean, we do a lot of like just joking around, what are the odds or half court shots. If we make this half court shot, you have to do this. And she's all in on them, and she'll be like, okay, I said I would do it, so I'll do it.
So a prankster maybe a little bit.
Well, I don't know if I am, but I get pranked a lot.
She's in on
Angie, if I had to if you had to give one word to describe Haley, what would that one word be?
Man, there's lots. She's a student of the game. She watches probably more film than most of our kids. She's a student of the game. She's quietly competitive. She's a quiet leader. Like she alluded to, she's stepping up vocally, leadership this year, but she's always been a quiet leader. She works hard. She's a hard worker. It's all those little things, intangibles, that make Haley who she is and what she is and what kind of basketball player she is. She works extremely hard, and she's easy to coach. She's easy to coach. And she's a great teammate, but she expects a lot out of herself. So I think that's where she's finding her voice from a leadership. When you lead by example, I think others will follow. And she does all the little things that we ask her, and that she was raised. It's really of how she was raised, and she lives by her core values every day. And it's been fun to coach Haley over the years.
Haley, that's pretty high praise from your coach there.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Haley, student of the game, quiet leader, sounds like maybe a kindergarten job at Island City and an assistant coaching job at EOU might be in your future.
I have really no plans for what's going to happen, so we'll see.
So, Angie, one last question before we wrap this up. And obviously polls are nice and you're ranked pick number one in our conference, et cetera. But as you look at that poll and you kind of look at our league, is there somebody in that poll that you're thinking, man, boy, I don't think people are judging them correctly, or they're a dark horse, or we need to really watch out for this team that maybe folks are overlooking? Is there anybody on that list that you kind of have circled, like, hey, we need to watch out for them?
Honestly, I think we have several, but because we have five new coaches, and that's the most new coaches that we have. And those coaches have gone out and they've done a tremendous job in the recruiting process. And they've had success, even though they're new to the Cascade Conference. They're not necessarily new head coaches. Yeah, we have a couple, but they've also taken over really good programs, some of the new coaches. Honestly, OIT, right now they're sitting fourth. They're going to compete for a conference championship. They're going to compete. I'm going to give some credit to Warner Pack. They came in at the tail end, and they're competing. They're competing with teams, at really good teams, and they're either winning or they're losing by a small margin compared to the level of play of the other team. I think Walla Walla has gotten better this year. Tony does a phenomenal job there. You know, Bushnell is facing a lot of things that we're facing. They've got a small roster, but just because we may have small rosters doesn't mean that we don't have quality teams and quality kids. They've got a lot of returners. So I could talk about each of the teams, and not just because I'm representing the Cascade Conference right now, but our top teams, I think, have stayed quality. LC State is loaded again. Southern Oregon's better. OIT's better. We're going to have to fight. I think we can be as good, but it's just going to look different. But I think our bottom teams have gotten better. And so, you know, it's going to be a fun Cascade Conference. You know, each of the coaches after our games, we get on the Cascade Conference and see website and see how everyone, I think there's going to be surprises.
Well, I think you're right. And you know, if history tells us anything, it's going to be another great competitive season. I hope it doesn't come down to another coin flip. I've had to do three or four of those in my career as commissioner. Exciting for me to do, but I think nerve-wracking for our teams and our players. Angie and Haley, thank you so much for joining Cascade Connects. It's been great to talk to you. Good luck this week on your road trip, and we will be talking again soon.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you.
On behalf of Director Courtney Blummer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships, and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.